comes out of the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And I'm just going to be reading the first three verses of that, not the first five. I made a decision on that. Let's listen to God's word. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. Pray together. Our Lord and our God, this morning we ask that, again, as we open up your word and look at it, that your spirit move us and teach us what it means to be, to come to you and to fill our heart with you. We make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Today we continue in our series of the My Heart, Christ Home, and we're going to be moving into what, for many people, is your favorite room in the house, or maybe in life, and that's the dining room. Bob Munger, in his book, defines the dining room of our hearts as that area which deals with our appetites and our desires, that area that deals with our wants and our needs and those kinds of things. Well, anytime I think of a dining room, of course, I think of my mom's cooking. Maybe you do the same thing. And my mom, she wasn't a gourmet cook, but she could do wonders, almost anything with meat and potatoes, and she made incredible desserts. It's just a wonder that I'm not 600 pounds. And I don't recall too many people growing up who turned down an offer to come eat at our house around my mom's cooking and that table. I mean, I think they would have been a little bit foolish. You would have been crazy to substitute our dining room for a trip to, let's say, McDonald's. But you know, it's interesting, in the dining room of my heart, I do that. My guess is you do that too. To stick with this food analogy, which I'm going to do throughout the sermon, so often in today's culture, we settle for junk food as opposed to the gourmet feast that's been provided for us. And that's really ironic, because considering our culture, in our culture, we want the best of everything. We want the best schools. We want the best restaurants. We want the best churches. We want the best toys. We want the nicest houses. We want the nicest cars. Whatever it might be, we work really hard at providing the best, if not necessarily for us, then certainly for our family or for our children. But when it comes to this area of the dining room of our heart, when it comes to that particular area that Bob Munger talks about in his booklet, we seem to be willing to settle for less. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about one of the major obstacles in our building relationships with one another and with other people in our family is that whole area of hurry. We are just so busy and hurried that we don't take the time to build those relationships. If that's true of the relationships, it goes twice as true for soul food, if you would, for what is inside of our heart, the dining room of our hearts. I read recently that in Louisiana, they now have a store that's a drive-by daiquiri store, drive-through daiquiri store. So you have drinks to go, order any daiquiri you want. I read that in Alabama, there's a funeral home now that has a drive-through window so that you can see the deceased and never get out of your car. I guess they just prop them up. I don't know. You know, and that sounds really crazy to us until we realize that the number one reason why people like early services on Sunday morning is not so they can come and worship God the first thing. It's so they can come and get it over with and get on with the rest of their day. Now, you're not going to admit to that, but I know that's true. You know, it's just one more thing. You want to get it done, get it over with, and off you go. We're in such a hurry as opposed to sitting down and feasting on the food that is in front of us. But you know, there's a problem with all this, and that is that food, junk food, isn't on any gourmet restaurant menu, and vice versa. Food that really satisfies you, food that's going to fill you up, food that's healthy for you, generally is not on a lot of junk food menus today. And so we end up settling for less. Whatever food that is really healthy for you is going to take a little bit of time to prepare. But there's another reason why we settle for junk food as opposed to gourmet food, and that is if we don't like to admit it, we tend to like it. I mean, it's quick, it's easy, it's convenient, you know, and it tastes okay. It's gotten a lot better in the last 20, 30, 40 years. And there's also that aspect in which there are times in which we decide or try to convince ourselves that it's actually healthy for us. A couple of months ago, I was with my son, and we were driving, and we decided we were going to stop somewhere, and I said, we decided we were going to stop at McDonald's. So I turned to him and I said, I think I'm going to have their fish sandwich. And he looked at me like as if I'd told him I was going to eat camel's eyes. And he says, that's nasty. How can you eat that stuff? And I said, what? It's fish. We do lots of things to rationalize what we put inside of us. I remember reading about a mom who every single morning for breakfast, she had a Coke for breakfast. But she told her kids it was prune juice because she didn't want to share it and because she wanted them to think that she was eating healthy. Now, we do the same thing in our own lives. We fill our diets with our favorite dishes. Usually that maybe is not so much food as much as it is the toys that we buy, the things that we wear, the retirement that we're looking forward to and invest in, all of those things. We think that our careers and our personal achievements and our career achievements are the main ingredients. Those are the main dishes for our life. We think that those are the things that are healthy for our souls. We measure our health of our children by their grades and by how athletic they are. And we convince ourselves and we convince them that you have to have good grades to get into a good school, to get a good job, so that you can make enough money to buy all the things that I couldn't provide for you, or to provide all the things that are going to be coming out so that you can have a comfortable life. Isn't that the American dream? And we convince ourselves that that kind of rich fare is good for our soul. But you know, you may notice that that doesn't always work out. The cemeteries are filled with people who are wealthy and very, very accomplished. And they died miserable. The Lowcountry counseling offices are filled with people who are brilliant and accomplished and articulate and wealthy and absolutely miserable. You see, accomplishments and money and possessions don't always give you that satisfaction that you're looking for. Ultimately, of course, they mean nothing in God's economy. But sometimes when we do have those accomplishments and we do have those possessions and we realize that they don't satisfy, what happens is we end up going down a different road and we start to choose and substitute other things for the gourmet food that is given to us. We get involved in maybe some addictions or some habits that lead us down a dark road. We watch entertainment that feeds the darkest part of our souls. We get involved in relationships that we know are not honoring to God in any way, shape, or form. We do all of that so we can fill that hole in our soul, as somebody said so many years ago, so that we will be satisfied. And in the middle of all that, we sort of deceive ourselves and we tell ourselves, well, you know, nobody else is getting hurt in this process. You know, it's just me and it's my private life, so what difference does it make? And yet all the while, our souls are becoming more and more anorexic. And just like anorexics spend all of their time and all of their emotion and all of their energy and money on things other than what they really need, food and love from a heavenly father. So too, we often are like that anorexic. We focus our attention and involve ourselves in so many other things other than food for our souls. Isaiah is writing this text to people who have been content and contented themselves with far less than God's best. He's writing this text to people who are spending their money on stuff that is not important. They're spending their time on things that has no real eternal value. And they're settling for less than what God can provide. They're settling for a junk food diet when they have a gourmet food and feast in front of them. And Isaiah says, that's bad enough. He says, but then he goes on and he calls them, in a sense, fools. Fools not in the sense that they're stupid, not in the sense that they're not accomplished. Fools in the sense that there's an alternative. That why eat junk food when you have gourmet food in front of you? Jesus said this, and I'm paraphrasing. He says, don't work for food that spoils, but rather work for food that endures to eternal life, food that the Son of Man can provide. That's the good news. That's the good news of the gospel. The rest of what I'm saying is pretty bad news, but that's the good news. In contrast to our junk food menus, Jesus has prepared a gourmet feast for us, food that endures forever. And if we allow Him to come in and cook our food, and if we eat the feast that He's prepared for us, these are the benefits that He provides for us. He provides peace when you face troubles. He provides satisfaction about who you are. He provides comfort to those that are lonely. He provides hope for those that are disappointed and or depressed. He provides courage, knowing that He is inside of you and He can change you from the inside out. You can't find that on any other menu in the secular world. Of course, what's required of us, if we are going to have Christ be the chef and Christ be the one to prepare that food, is we need to allow Him to come in and really do the cooking. We need to get out of His kitchen and let Him do the thing. And like any good chef, and if you really are serious about changing your diet, that there are going to be some changes probably in the way things go. He's going to ask you to change, maybe cut back on your empty accomplishments, your possessions. He's going to ask you to cut out your addictions and your lustful desires and the things that are hurting you spiritually and emotionally. He's going to want you to replace those things with what Paul said in Philippians 2, what I talked about last week. He wants us to replace all of that bad stuff with the good stuff, and that is to think about and meditate on those things that are true and noble and pure and righteous and praiseworthy. I read recently about this thing called the law of the tree, and the law of the tree is this, that what goes on the inside of the tree will dictate and determine what happens on the outside of the tree, what gets produced on the outside of the tree. Jesus said the same thing, just in a little more poetic way. And that same principle holds true in our hearts, in the dining room of our hearts, that what we feed our souls, the appetites and the desires that we feed into our lives, will dictate who we are and what we do ultimately. But any of you who've ever been on a diet or ever tried to change any of your food intake know that that is not easy to do. It's hard. So let me give you a couple of suggestions. A couple of suggestions that might help you down that road. The first suggestion I'm going to make to you is that you review your daily menu. And by that I mean is take an inventory of what is it that you are watching on television and at the movies. What video games are you involved in or addicted to in terms of that? What books or what magazines do you watch and read? What websites do you go to and look at? What kind of service are you doing for God? Are you doing anything for God other than coming here on Sunday morning? Take an inventory of what it is that you're doing. What are you providing for your soul? And then after you've done that inventory, and I would suggest you do that maybe this afternoon during the timeouts of the football game that you're watching. After you do that, after you have identified maybe some areas of growth in your life, some weaknesses, some areas in which you want to maybe step out, put together an action plan. Don't settle for less. If you need to be find some friendships, spiritual friendships, if you need to that are going to help you and sort of help you grow spiritually, consider becoming a part of one of our small group, and talk to me about that. If you need to read the Bible and you're not doing that now, then do it. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a second. If you need to find and be of service to God in some way, then find something that allows you to do that and jump in. Don't wait for somebody to call you. And then third, I'd ask that you commit to reading the Bible during the day. And you can do this in any number of ways. Some people read the Bible the first thing in the morning, because it sort of gets them off to a good start. Some people, they have an audio Bible. You can buy those now. And they put that CD in and they listen to it on the way to work. Or they listen to a sermon or they listen to a worship service on the way to work. Since you're sitting on 26 or wherever it is that you're sitting in traffic, it's a good use of your time. Some people at lunch, they'll download a sermon or they'll download some part of the scripture and put it on their iPod. And during lunch, rather than going off and just sort of talking with a bunch of their friends, they use that as their quiet time. They use that as their devotional time. Some people, the scripture is the last thing. It's the last part of their day, and they read it before they go to bed at night because that's what allows them, their mind, to think through and to feed their soul. Some people read one of these devotionals. It doesn't have to be this one. It can be any one. We provide this for free, as I said in the announcements this morning. Whatever it is that you decide to do, whatever it is that you think you can handle, start small and grow. Find a Bible that is easy to read and you can understand it and it's not too difficult to get through. If you want to begin with Genesis, that's wonderful. There's lots of good stories in Genesis. It's a long book, though. You may want to start in the New Testament. You may want to start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or start with the book of James, or start with the book of Philippians. How much should you read? Here's the key. You read until something makes you sit up and take notice. That's five verses. One verse could be five chapters. But you read until God finally hits you over the head with something. And then you stop and you ask yourself some basic questions. What's it mean? What's it say? How does it apply? And then you go do it. There is nothing that feeds your soul as much as God's Word. I'm going to close this morning, and I want you to hear God's invitation to you again out of Isaiah. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and on your labor, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me. And eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. You have in front of you a reflection question. And as Noel plays for just a minute, I would ask you to maybe just get a head start on maybe some of that inventory that I talked about earlier. We'll give that some thought for the next minute. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we come this morning and we know that you provide the food for our soul. And we come this morning knowing that we want to put our hand in your hand. We want our dining room to have you at its table. So Lord, this week we ask that you help us as we change our heart into your home. Give us the strength that we need to be able to do that and the discipline we need to be able to do that day by day. For we make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.